This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Okay, good morning everyone. How are you doing today? We good? Hello. It's always such a privilege to stand up here and always such a privilege to be able to share the word of the Lord. I can't say that it doesn't come without daunting thoughts and you know, stresses and worries, but the moment you start to realize that it's not your words, that it's God's word, that's the moment things start to take a turn for the better. When you start to realize that I need to give this back to God and I need to release everything from myself and I need to hear what God wants to say. And I think God wants to teach that to us all. Is to release those things that are difficult in your life. Even when it comes to your normal work, your normal job, I just felt as we were worshiping, God was putting on my heart that some people are stressing with their work. I felt Him saying that He wants you to ask Him, what does He want to do through you where you work? And the moment you start to align your heart with God, those things that you are struggling with and battling with, they'll start to make a lot more sense. And that's just what I heard from the Lord as we were worshiping. So if there's anybody stressing about work or worrying about work, find out where you can give it all to God. Just give it to God. Hand it over to Him. He wants to use you where you are. He wants to use us all where we are. That's not part of my message. That's just what I felt as we were worshiping. There was something else that I also felt. I felt God saying that there's somebody here today who wants to testify about provision that God has given them. I felt a specific word that somebody has been provided for by God, and He wants you to come and share. So if there's somebody like that, please come share. And I'm pretty certain that was the Holy Spirit telling me that. So if you know that's you, don't be shy. I pray boldness over you that you can come share that people may. There we go. Because I think it's.
Morning, everyone. I didn't think I'd be standing here today, but I wanted to testify of God's provision. Some of you know I've been unwell for a bit, and that has affected my work quite a lot. With that, it affected my finances directly to a point where I defaulted on paying City of Cape Town, for example, because it just wasn't part of the plan. I didn't have money for it. And I reached out to a friend to actually borrow money from them, and then they said, no, the Holy Spirit is telling me to give you. Then they said the amount. I nearly fell over. I didn't think any human being would want to willingly part with that amount of money. But she then proceeded to say, the Holy Spirit says that there is no debt in the kingdom because everything comes from Him. And then that struck me like so hard. And just from that evidence, I've not had problems financially. And it was like God wanted to just open my eyes and show me that He is, in fact, the provider for every need that we have.
Hello. Amanele. When Craig said there's somebody, yo, my heart started pumping like crazy. So I was like, yeah, I should probably go up there. A while back, like 3 months ago, I was in Gauteng. So I'd finished my honors last year, and I moved back to Gauteng to seek work. And I sort of got an internship in the mines. So I worked there as a geologist for a little bit. And then a couple of months actually a month and a half went past, and so I was cut off from the job because of the requirements that they wanted, and I didn't fit into the entire picture. I was like, oh, that's chilled. And then I moved, actually I stayed at home for a little bit. Yo, that was rough. Jeez, that was like properly rough. But I think Craig messaged me and was like, Anele, there's space opened at Harvest Hope. You should probably apply to go there, to stay there. And I was like, and my heart's pumped again. I was like, yes, Holy Spirit. And then I moved to Harvest Hope a little bit. And then I started my master's degree. And I was still worried because I had the hope to continue to work as a geologist. And then literally on Thursday, I got an email telling me that there's a new internship. Let's go. so right now, I feel like the Lord... So as soon as I got rejected that side, I immediately got an offer to work as a groundwater scientist here in the Western Cape. So I'm like, wow, the Lord really shifted me from that environment to this environment. And to be in community with believers, it really helps with my faith because I really struggle a lot in that regard. But I'm so grateful that I had the opportunity to come back and just sort of pursue a career in what I wanted in the Western Cape. Like, so, yeah, that's a little something I wanted to share.
Anele will know all about gold nuggets because he was studying geology. Huh? There's more.
Okay, so I think about 4 weeks ago or so, I was in the worship team, and Craig prophesied over me. I don't know if you can remember what you said, but he said he sees me standing in a cornfield.
Yeah.
And harvesting, and it's something related to my work. So I've been at my job for about 7 years now. This is my 7th year. And basically at work, we're busy doing a deal with one of the majority shareholders, buying them out. And part of that, my fellow management team have given me the opportunity to buy into the company, which was never sort of on the table, on the cards before. And they're fully funding it with a vendor loan, so I don't have to put any money in. They gave me a shareholding in the company. And I just want to say, yeah, at the time that that he was saying that, he didn't know what was going on. it's now confirmed, and it's happening like this week. So, yeah, just praise God.
Okay, before I put this mic away, is there anybody else? Does the whole church want to come up? I actually think that in itself is a little bit of a testimony, because Megan came to me after the service, or I think it was the week after, and she said, Craig, why did you come up to the stage and give personal words to people? And I sort of had to sit there and just wrestle a little bit with it, because I was like, okay, cool. I started giving some answers. And then I felt God saying, when we share those words here up front, we're sharing words that we feel God is telling us for somebody. And then what happens is that person is a testimony when that comes true. Because it's been spoken out to everybody. It wasn't something done, hey, Ferdi, I just feel this for you. It was done in front of everybody so that all the eyes could see, all the ears could hear. So I just feel that's a really, really amazing testimony, Ferdi, that people actually get to witness the result of a prophetic word. And to see that prophecy is happening, it happens now, it's still going. Yes, we won't prophesy more scripture to write and put in the word. The word is the word, it's a complete word. But God still wants us to prophesy over one another. He's got messages for us. He's got messages to give to us. Okay, so today I'm doing it's part one of a two-part sermon, so I'll be preaching next week as well again. So try and just hear what I'm saying today, because it also blends in with next week a little bit. So they all work together, and if you take what I'm trying to give you today, then next week you'll understand next week a little bit better. Okay? So what we've been busy with lately, it was Henny and Belina been preaching so nicely about how our works are the things that get us saved. It's our works that we do that gain us that love of God. So I want to find out by you guys today, who have you been doing a lot of works? Oh, Kenny. Kenny, our elder, has been doing a lot of works. No, that in fact is not true. That is not what they've been preaching. That is the exact opposite of what they've been preaching. So they were preaching from Ephesians 1 to 6. And in Berlin's sermon, she was differentiating between what Paul was talking about. He was, in 1 to 3, he was talking about this doctrinal part of salvation, of what it means to be a Christian. And then it came down to the first three chapters, it sort of came down to a heart, the heart. How our heart? And where is our heart position? Then the second part was about the works. So it goes from the position of our heart into works. It doesn't go from works into the position of our heart, because then that is dead works. Okay, so my first slide is just my title. And it's a journey of sanctification and helplessly dependent. Okay. Now from the title, you can see helplessly dependent. It's got nothing to do with us. We can do nothing. It is all about God. So I'm just going to bring up Ephesians 2 verse 8 to 9. And this was a scripture that Berlin used. And it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." By grace. Okay? Because of our faith. Okay? And what did Berlin say grace is? It's unmerited favor. Okay? The grace that we have is an unmerited favor by God. I'm just going to do a little bit of a recap just before I head into the piece of scripture that I want to go through today. It is the gift of God. Okay, so it is grace and it is a gift. It is something given. Now I forgot to actually get my chocolate, my love. My love is always good at reminding me things, and I forgot to get a chocolate. So Johannes, just for the sake I'll give you a chocolate after this. Just okay. Do you trust me if I ask you to come up? I've got something for you. Okay.
Chocolate.
Yeah. Okay. What chocolate do you like?
I like a 5-star.
Okay. So here's a 5-star for you, Johannes. Johannes, enjoy it, and you can go and sit down.
Okay. Can I share it with Megan?
You can share it with many people. If you can multiply it and share it with the church, please do. Okay, so with that little demonstration over there, I just want to ask you, what did Johannes do to deserve the chocolate that I gave him? He didn't do anything except that he believed in me and he trusted me. Okay? So that is like the gift of God, except God's gift is so much better than a 5-star chocolate. I will get you a 5-star chocolate though. Okay? And it is not a result of works so that no one may boast. It's not about the works. It's about the heart. When we've got the heart right, then the works will flow. There's this natural outflow from the position of your heart. But what is that position of your heart? Because if we understand that it's from that flow of our heart, and Berlin did a really amazing sermon on this, but I'm I'm doing this week again so that when we go into what we're doing next week, we can get a really core foundation again and repeat. That's what we have to do so that it really sinks in. Okay, so when we have our heart in the right place, there's a natural outflow. There's a natural outworking. So it's not of trying or striving. It is because we are being. Because we are being with Jesus. We are being in Jesus. We are of Jesus. We become, he is the firstborn. We are those who come after him. And the firstborn is a very, very interesting concept. Because he's the firstborn. And then he speaks about being born again. So we also have to understand that concept of being born again. Because when we understand the concept of being born again, we'll understand what the right heart position is. So today, I am going through a really, really well-known piece of scripture. I'm not going to go through the whole piece. I'm actually just going through a little piece of it just because it captures where Jesus speaks about being born again. We are called to be born again. Okay, so we can... Oh, it's already on. Wow. I was just thinking of that scripture. Okay, so we are on John 3, verse 1 to 6. I'm going to read through the whole verse till 6 for you guys, and then I'm just going to go through it and just break down and bring out some highlights for me. And then we are going to get to the crucial point of what Jesus was talking about. And it's controversial because there's many different schools of thought. But the reality is we need to take scripture in context. We need to take it for what it says. And we have to understand what the circumstances were surrounding that moment when Jesus was speaking. Okay, so Berlin did salvation where Paul was speaking. And this morning I felt that I wanted to come and bring the words of Jesus into this because these are words that Jesus actually spoke. So it's not just a concept of some guy who came after Jesus. It's there because Jesus gave that message to start. So now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher. Come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now, I think this is a very relevant meeting up that's happening here. Because this meeting is happening with Nicodemus. He is somebody who, at that time, would be seen as the most man in right standing with God. Because why? Okay? It says, the man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Okay? So that for me already is like smack bang. Okay? Because what did Pilate say they must put on Jesus' cross? What was the words that were written on his cross? King of the Jews. Okay, so here you've got a piece of scripture going like, here's what the world portrays as the ruler of the Jews, meeting the king of the Jews. So this is like a meeting up, and it's a very specific meeting up because Jesus is meeting with the head of the Jews. Nicodemus is not just a guy sweeping the temple floor. He's probably a guy with authority and power, and when he speaks, people listens. And he has done every cleansing ceremony he has to, and he has done all of the good deeds, and he has been charitable, and he knows the word of God better than most of these other people who don't even have access probably to the word of God completely like we do right now. So we are blessed in that. This man came to Jesus by night. Came to Jesus by night. Okay? He didn't come to Jesus by day. Why? There's many different ideas behind it. He didn't want people to see him coming to this man who was the Messiah. He wanted to come under the cover of night. But there's also other schools of thought saying that it's actually a representation of his own spirit, the darkness of his own spirit. So we've got the ruler of the Jews meeting the king of the Jews. The ruler who thinks he knows it all and understands every concept of the word. And here a humble carpenter coming to really tell him what the kingdom is about. And he says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." So we see here that Nicodemus says, "Rabbi, we." So he doesn't come by himself. He comes representing a group of people. It may not be all the Pharisees, but it's a definite we there. So he's coming to meet up with Jesus to maybe discuss among his peers and say, "Well, this is what Jesus spoke about." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." It's quite a response after him saying, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." It's quite a, "Hey, I'm going to answer you with this over here." Says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus thinks he sees the kingdom of God. Do you know that? He believes he knows the kingdom of God. He knows what's happening in the kingdom of God. He knows how he's going to be in the kingdom of God. He's already probably made that decision up within himself. "I am going to go into the kingdom of God." Now, the Jewish people believed that the kingdom of God was going to be this renewed place, this renewed heaven, this place that you would walk in of perfection, where everything is good and clean and spotless and there is no sin. Jesus is telling him, "Nicodemus, you can't even see the kingdom. Nicodemus, you can't see the kingdom." And he says, "You need to be born again." Now, in that situation and me being in the context that I am, if I pull myself out of the context, I would go like, "Whoa, Jesus, I don't know what's going on, but I think you might be a little bit crazy." But fortunately, I'm not in that context, and I am in this context, where we know a little bit more, where we get to see what happened and what transpired, and we got to see the finished work, we got to live in the finished work. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" You see, we need to understand what Jesus is saying here. Nicodemus is so stuck in the world. He's so stuck in the world at that moment that he's going like, "How can an old man be born again?" He is so stuck in the world that when Jesus is speaking to him, he's looking at the flesh. Jesus is so much deeper than the flesh. And that's what he's trying to get across here. He's trying to get across to Nicodemus, it's not what you do in the flesh. Jesus answered, again, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now he goes from you can't see the kingdom of God to now you can't enter the kingdom of God. So he's literally telling Nicodemus, there's stuff you need to know. There's stuff you need to learn. There's a position of your heart that needs to change. Because you think that all these things you are doing is pleasing to God. We have to understand that this that he's saying is no different to what he said before. When he said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But now he just switches it up and says, unless one is born of water and the Spirit. Now the reason he did that specifically in this context to Nicodemus is because Nicodemus is somebody who should know the Torah, who should know the books of the prophets. He should know them back to front. He should be able to recite scripture to Jesus. So he uses it very specifically there. What we also have to see is that born again in Greek is anothen. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. I'm not Greek. But it means anothen. It means from above. So born again or born from above. It's a very important concept that. So we have to be born again. But looking at it in this context, we have to be born from above. And I don't know if you remember when Berlin said, we have to have this right before we can have this right. We have to have that connection with God, that direct connection that links us with God. And Jesus is trying to tell Nicodemus, this is necessary before this. Your heart position has to be in the right place. You see, he's talking about the kingdom. He's talking about the kingdom. The king is talking about the kingdom. Who better knows the kingdom than the king? So I think this is important for us to look at. So if we say we are following Jesus and we are following the king, we have to get this. We have to really get this. And it's a foreign concept to us. See, many people want to put down what this birth is of water and spirit. People say, no, it's just the natural birth, and then there's a spirit of a birth in the spirit. It's the fluids that you're born in. I can't remember the name of the fluids. Amniotic fluids. And that's what it is. Others have taken the side of... For me, in that sense, I'm like, okay, so why would Jesus tell Nicodemus that you have to be born? I mean, he is born. It's like odd that he tells him, no, you have to be born and then born of the Spirit. Doesn't make sense. He's born. He could have then just said, you have to be born of the Spirit. Then there's many schools of thought saying that it could have been the baptism, the Christian baptism. But we weren't getting baptized into Christ yet then. So Nicodemus wouldn't understand a concept like that. What Nicodemus would understand, however, is that he would understand the Word of God. So Jesus is trying to direct him to a scripture. He's saying, Nicodemus, with all your that well of knowledge of the Word of God, how about you go back into the Old Testament and you try and find what I'm trying to tell you here? Who can tell me what that scripture is? Berlin, you can't tell me. No. So it's a scripture where you actually see it contains water and it contains the Spirit. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell Nicodemus. He's trying to lead him, going like, water, Spirit. Where do I get this? Because what Jesus is trying to tell Nicodemus here, this for me is, this is it. He's saying, yes, there will be a renewed kingdom. Yes, the kingdom is coming. The kingdom is standing in front of you. But I don't want just a renewed kingdom. I want a renewed people. I want a people that are clean and holy and spotless. I want a people that are connected with me. Not a people doing things because they think that it will please God. We have to do things because we know that is the will of God. And how do we know that it's the will of God? Only if we are connected to Him. Is everybody following so far? Okay. So Ezekiel 36. Who knows the scripture? Oh, how long has that been up? Just went up, okay. This is the scripture that I believe that God was, that Jesus was trying to direct Nicodemus to. And this really, really solidifies what Berlin was saying about the heart and about having the right position of your heart. The right position of your heart is a new heart. It's getting rid of that stony heart. It is on. Is it back on? Thank you, sound people. But that's too loud now. Okay, so in Ezekiel 36, verse 25 to 27, it says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules. You see, to be born again, it's two parts. There's a cleansing and there's a filling. There's a cleansing and there's a filling. There's a removing. So what Jesus was trying to tell Nicodemus with, you must be born of water and of the Spirit, is he's like, I can't just put my spirit in you. You need to be cleansed. What do you need to be cleansed of? Your uncleanliness and of all your idols. Of all of your sin. Jesus is saying that He is going to remove all of your sin first. Your sin is going to be removed. Your name is going to be put in the book of life. The Holy Spirit is going to fill you. You are going to have a new heart. So think of, if this doesn't happen, if this doesn't happen, if we are not cleansed, right? If you are not cleansed, but you want to go over here to that other side of Ephesians and start doing the work. What kind of heart are you doing the works with? Are you doing it with a pure heart, with a pure intention that God wants you to do it? Or are you doing it in a way that gratifies your own soul and your own spirit? You see, God wants us to come to a place where we are so in line with Him that when we do things for others, it glorifies His name. It glorifies Him. And you see, this is a very spiritual aspect. This is not just a physical thing, but it's also because He gives us a new heart. So we as humans, we have a body, we have a spirit, and we have a soul. And that's where I'm going next week. So this week I'm not going to do all the explaining of that because it's quite intricate and quite deep. Our spirit is our identity. Our spirit is our life force. And then we have an expression of our spirit. We have our will and our emotions. And that is our soul. And then you have an expression of that as well, which expresses those emotions and those feelings in your will, and that's the body. You see, they're very intricately woven together, but they are clearly defined. I'm going to get into that next week. It's very exciting. I'm very excited for that. But I don't want to put that on now because then it becomes just too much. We have to understand that there's a change in our spirit being. We change spiritually before the works that we can do are the works of God. We cannot be sanctified if we aren't born again. You cannot be sanctified if you do not have the Spirit of God in you. So I just want to touch on one or two things. Molefe, you can give that other slide in 2 minutes. I'm just going to go through it, and then you can put it up. I just want to bring this sort of together with what I've been saying here today. Then we're going to go into a small bit of reflective time, and then I'm going to end it off for us. For us now, for Nicodemus then, the kingdom wasn't quite a present reality because Jesus hadn't died, the work wasn't finished, but Jesus was leading him to that. He's leading him to that. What is the kingdom for us here now? The kingdom is a present reality. We get to live in the kingdom here on earth. We don't have to wait to die to be in the kingdom. We get to walk into the kingdom. We get to walk the kingdom out here on earth. We get to make a difference because we are connected to God. Because God loves each and every one of us. He loves each and every person that's out on the street that don't even know him yet. He loved them from birth. He loved them in the womb that he knitted them together in. He loved the person whom gave birth to these people. Born again, birth from above is essential. We need to be in connection with the Holy Spirit, with God. It is essential. We can't walk out the kingdom here on earth if we are not born again. What happens in being born again? There's a cleansing, removing of the past sin, and a filling with the Holy Spirit. We get filled with the Holy Spirit. We get filled with the Spirit of God, that we may know the will of God, that we may know what God wants of us. Like I was saying in your workplace, if you're struggling, speak to God. Ask God, what is your purpose where you are? Because there's a purpose for where you are. If you are a child of God, there's a purpose why you are where you are. You have to be in connection with Him. We are helplessly dependent in this process. It is all reliant on God's grace. We can do nothing to obtain this. But what are we going to do when God gives it to us? What are we going to do when God gives it to us? We are in a space of, like Badin preached, a finished work. The finished work is because of Jesus. Jesus is the only way. We can only have rebirth through Jesus and through believing in Him, through trusting in Him, through knowing that He loves us. So that's a sort of a summary of what I've said so far. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to put on a song for us. I want everybody to do what you want to do. Close your eyes, get on your knees, lay on the floor, walk around, hold the person you love next to you. But in that moment, listen to the words of the song. Let God come and work in your heart. If you feel that over time your heart has become hard, doesn't mean that you're not born again. Life happens, things happen, and then we sometimes close ourselves off. Ask God to remove it. Ask Him to remove it. You don't want it there. and offer him your heart.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.